God uses us. Where we're at now in this world, in this time, in God's dispensation, whatever happens now, God's already preparing us for the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. The Bible tells us that God will do nothing except He first reveals it to His prophets. We talked about it last week, over 300 prophecies, 350-some prophecies in the Old Testament about the first coming of Christ. The Bible is about one-third prophetic word spoken by God to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. He's coming again, and we've been talking about this. He's coming again, but He won't step foot on this earth. We'll meet Him in the air. We'll talk about that a little bit this morning. The Holy Spirit is preparing us. And He said it in Revelation. He said it in the Scriptures. He said it, those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. That tells me there's people in the church that don't have ears to listen. They're not listening. When we were worshiping, God started showing me. He said, Dave, do you realize, you know how many know God uses your name? How many? It's not a wrong thing to say if God speaks to you, He says, Dave, or Wanda, or Kevin, or Dan, or Mark, or whoever, Michelle, whoever. He'll use your name. How do I know that? Because He said your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So your name's right in front of Him. So why would He call you, hey? You. No, the other one over there. No, that one. No. He's going to call you by name. Amen? Jesus happens to be the name above every other name. So my Lord and Savior's name's up here. Mine's down here somewhere. I don't know where, but it's still up there. Amen? And He said, Dave, do you realize that all the noise that you hear now going on in the world and in the you know, overseas, and they're standing there yelling and screaming and watching. You see it on the news. You see it in the Congress. You see it all over the place. You watched that thing the other night, the other day, where they had Stroke, the FBI agent, in front of Congress. You get to see that? And the back and forth yelling and carrying on. You know, God spoke to me here. Now, I wasn't thinking about it, but He said, remember, David, if it's loud and noisy, it's not from Me. He said, I'm not loud and noisy. Who is? Well, you know, your adversary comes like a roaring lion. What you're listening to, what you are hearing on the news, what is being repeated all over the place, is the words of our adversary, the enemy of God, Satan, and his minions. So my advice to you is don't repeat what he's got to say. Right? Right now, probably even in the church and every place else, we speak more about what Satan talks about than what God says. So who do you think you're going to believe and listen to? The one you speak about most. Amen? So we're in the last days, and you have to understand, it's going to get a lot noisier out here. It's going to take a lot more effort on our part, individually, collectively, as a church, as a member of the body of Christ, to get quiet before God and hear His voice. Because the enemy wants to drown it out. He wants to stop you from hearing what he's got to say. Why? Because God's revealing some things in these last days to his prophets. Well, I'm not a prophet. You can be used by a prophet. And a prophet is only one who speaks the mind and the will of God. How will you know how to prophesy? You hear the voice of God and you speak what he says. Now you're prophesying. Are there prophets who are separated for that specific purpose? Absolutely. And these prophets were called to go to the world, to go to the nations, to go to the states and individual places. That's what the prophets really were. If you look at the prophets in the Old Testament, they were used to warn Israel about the coming correction of God. I stand before you as a man of God who says he's about to make the greatest correction there ever was. And if you think this noise out here, if you think the temptations of this life out here are big and strong, nothing compared to when my God flexes his muscle. He says, enough. Enough. If we are hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, which I believe that we all have the ability to, and I pray that we all are, then we're hearing that it's closer than it was before. Every day, the possibility of Jesus coming back for his bride, meaning the church, is closer today than it was yesterday. I gave you a list of all the signs last week. Not all of them, but a lot. 25 of them. 25 signs of the coming of the Lord. Now we know in the scriptures it tells us that no man knows the day or the hour. There's no way we know exactly. So if somebody comes up to you and says, well, September 23rd, he's coming back. Wrong. False prophet. Amen. You got it very clear. And if he says to you, I know exactly what God's doing. I read it in the scriptures. I figured it all out. Get away. If somebody says he's over there, the Christ, or he's over there, stop running to and fro, finding out what God has to say. I believe, and you very well could be wrong, but Jesus prayed this prayer, Lord, make us one as you are one. It wasn't just talking about us here. It was talking about the church universal. So when the Holy Spirit is going to speak to the church universal, it'll be a one voice, one message. I believe that message today is he's coming back. So if you say, well, I got to go over there to hear their message, they'll be speaking the same message over there and here. If we're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, listening to what he has to say and bringing that to you. And it doesn't mean that just the pastor's the only one. Because there's people in the body of Christ right now who sit in congregations who are hearing the voice of God. They're not being heard from the pulpit and the ministry staff because they think they know everything. And you don't know anything. You're sitting there. I'm up here. I must be more important to you. That's not true. My suggestion would be, unless the Lord keeps you where you're at, get where you got to be. Because eventually what will happen, it'll destroy your spirit. I can remember, and I told you this story before, that when I was a young Christian, God had used me extensively in a word of knowledge. And he started showing me things and telling me things about people and things, not to embarrass, not to do anything. But all of a sudden, for whatever reason, when I would give a word, I was getting rebuked for it from the leadership. And I mean, it went on until somebody, you know, from the congregation even came up to me and said, what's going on? How come? I don't know. It got so bad, I was being so persecuted for it in my own mind. Trust me. It was in my own mind, I think. Matter of fact, I know. But there was opposition to it. So I said to the Lord, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it. And for years, his voice was silent. For years. Not because he didn't want to. Because when I said no to him, that was enough. He honored my no. Took many years before that came back. Many years. I praise God for it. Because when the Spirit of God is speaking, I hear his voice and I just say what he said, tells me to say to you. But when I said no to him, let me tell you something. Never say no to God if he wants to use you. I don't care what it is. Don't ever tell the Holy Spirit, I'm too busy. Don't ever do it. Don't ever tell the Holy Spirit, I won't do that. I won't go tell them. I won't do this. I won't lay hands. Because what if you don't do anything? That's not your responsibility. All you're called to do is obey. In these last days, you're going to find out that the Holy Spirit's going to warn you about things to come. We read that scripture, amen? Let's go there, matter of fact. Go into John 16. Oh, I'm there. Thank you. I knew I was going to go there. We looked at this last week again. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, meaning the Holy Spirit, notice again that he's talking not about a vapor. He's not talking about a feeling or an emotion. He's talking about the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a he. He is not some feeling or some emotion. He's a he. So when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you speak to him just as if you would speak to someone else. Only maybe, with a little more caution and a little more control of your attitude. So the emotion, your, and we talk about this on Wednesday night a lot lately, is that your motives are pure when you talk to him. Amen? Now, when they're not perfect in all those ways, and I'm not saying they have to be perfect, I'm just saying your heart's desire. When they said David's heart was after the heart of God, wanted to be like the heart, had the heart of God, David wasn't perfect in all his ways, far from it. But God says he's a man after my own heart. He desired that. Amen? We're going to want that. That's what keeps us in line with his will. But we know that he's a he. He's not just an emotion or feeling. Your emotions come and go. He doesn't. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit's there always. It's just that we're not always listening to what he has to say. So not only do we talk to him, we listen to him. In the end of all things, my friends, I'll tell you the truth. I'd rather you listen to the Holy Spirit than to me. Because I come with an imperfect vessel that I am. But I want you to hear his voice. Because if I believe, if what I believe is true, there's not a lot of time left here. And I don't want anybody to miss that opportunity to know him. And to be with him. Amen? And I can't get you there. You can't, you know, praise God, God willing, and by the grace of God, I'm able to go in the rapture. I can't drag you with me. So wait a minute, Lord, we're going to get church service Sunday. Can you wait till Sunday? We talked about this last week, too, Nancy, with Timothy, her son. And we were up. We took these kids up to a lake in the Adirondacks and to a campsite. And the people that used to come to the church, it was their campsite. And we were up there for 3 days, four days. And the first night, the young people came and said, "Will you tell us about the Holy Spirit and pray for us to receive the Holy Spirit?" I said, "I'll do this. I'll teach you about the Holy Spirit the first night." So we got in a circle, we taught on the Holy Spirit. There were about 16 kids there, all of them. The oldest was about 16 at the time. And we talked about the Holy Spirit. And then the next night they come, "You're going to pray for us for the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" Now my thoughts are this. I want to wait till we get back to the church because I want to see the parents. The eagerness that were in these kids' eyes. The eagerness. They desired, they wanted so much the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I said, "No, we're going to teach again on it tonight." So we got in a circle and we taught on it the second night. Third night, they came to me again. Said, "You're going to baptize and pray for us for the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning or tonight?" I said, "We'll get together and we'll see what happens." Well, we got in a circle. It was probably about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And we're in the cabin. We're all in the circle. And we just started praying. Lord, glory, glory. The Holy Spirit fell. Boom. I mean, it fell. Nothing I've ever experienced that set me up for this. And since then, these kids were on, Timmy was on his back with his legs up in the air and his arms up in the air, flailing like this, praying in tongues, and just, I mean, it just went through the whole cabin, everybody. The kids at midnight, which it was going on that long, wanted to go out and get all the neighbors and tell them all about Jesus. Now, we're up in the Adirondacks. I said, somebody knocks on the door at midnight in the Adirondacks. Usually a gun meets them in the doorway. But I said, maybe not a good suggestion. I probably should have let them go, but I felt kind of responsible for these kids, so I didn't want to. But it was amazing what it takes. All it takes is a heart's desire. You want him. You want to hear his voice. You want to hear what he's got to say. He's willing. He wants to talk to you. Let's go back. However, when he, meaning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. There's warnings he gives to people. There's testimonies of how God had talked to one family, a mother and two children. The Holy Spirit told them to get off the plane. They were just got on the plane, ready to go on a trip. He said, get off the plane. She got up, took the kids, got off the plane, the plane crashed, everybody died. There's on and on stories like this as the Holy Spirit gives warning of things to come. But he also talked about the coming of the first time for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Messiah is coming. And people listened, but did not hear. Oh, yeah, okay, the Messiah is coming. Who knows when? We don't know, but he's coming. And he warned them, and he told them all the signs of their coming of the Messiah. Everything. But they weren't ready. He's telling us about the coming of the Lord. They sat down, Matthew 24. And they asked Jesus, Jesus, what is the sign of your coming? And he started speaking to them. Luke 21, you go into those scriptures and you find that he warned them and told them, these signs will indicate the preparation or at least the knowledge or the season of my coming. No man knows the day or the hour because only the Father knows. In a Jewish wedding, what would happen is that the couple would become engaged. That engagement was almost marriage. In other words, they were married, but they didn't consummate the marriage. The bride would go back to the mother and father's house. The bridegroom would go to the father's house where he lived. And the father and him and the family would build an addition to the house. And when the addition was ready, the father would say, now it's time to go get your bride and bring her back. And so that's what he did. He didn't know the time that the father would tell him. It was up to the father's decision. We're waiting for that now. The marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus coming back, we are espoused to him. The Bible says it means we are engaged to him. But there will be a day of consummation when he takes us home as his bride. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm going to tell you about things to come. And we looked at the signs of the things to come. This is what's going to happen. Now, 2 Peter 3, we looked at that. Let's look at that real quick again. Hallelujah. Why do you keep going back over this? Because not everybody was here last week. Not everybody remembered what we said last week. Some scriptures were given, but some didn't hear or they need to be reminded. How about you? Yes, I need to be reminded. I can't just take it one time and say, okay, I got it down. No, I got to be reminded of it. Amen? 2 Peter 3, verse 3 says, hallelujah. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning to creation of creation. And listen to what he says in the next group. For they willfully forget. Amen. They choose. They willfully choose to forget. How many of you know there's people who willfully turn off the voice of the Holy Spirit? Willfully. Because they don't want to hear what he has to say about their life. Amen. So, if we willfully turn off his voice, willfully turn away from what he has to say, are we being prepared for his coming? Are we looking to his coming? Are we getting ready for his coming? Because I'm going to give you scriptures to talk about what do I need to do if he is coming. Remember what we started this whole journey on back in September of last year. What to do to prepare for the coming storm. In everybody's life, while here on earth, you're going to go through some storms. I know that's a downer. Nobody wants to say, oh, yeah. No, you're just a negative talker. No, that's the truth. If you got a leak in the roof of your house, denying that there's a leak there doesn't change anything. You got to deal with it. Denying the fact that I'm not listening and hearing to what the Holy Spirit is speaking, and I am not in consultation with God about my life, you can deny it, but it's real. If God is speaking to us, get ready. What are we supposed to be getting ready for? The coming of the Lord. We talked about two great signs of his coming, right? The return of Israel, 1948. And the return of Jerusalem to the occupation of Israelites happened in 1967. We go on with the wars and rumors of war, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, all these things. We can say, well, that's always been earth. Yeah, but everything's coming together at once. They call it in the new word out there, and it's a hip word now, it's convergence. Everything's coming together. It's happening all at once. It's like birth pangs, the Bible says. He said they'll, even though birth pangs start, and you might have a, you know, every, I remember timing Diane, and we'd have, you know, so much time. Then they get closer and closer, and as they got closer together, they became more intense and more intense. And that's what's happening, my friends. We're coming to that time. And everything he said that would happen is happening more and more and more intensely. And all together. It's coming all together. Hallelujah. Go with me in the second, or wait a minute, no, Matthew. Go into Matthew 24. Now, when we look at this, sometimes what we do is we kind of get messed up when we look at eschatology, which is a study of the coming of the Lord. We get messed up because we confuse ourselves with the. And I talked to you last week, and most, and matter of fact, all Bible theologians will describe to you the fact that Jesus will have two comings. Okay, we talked about that. The first one, he came as a man, remember? And I added one in there myself. And I said, this is how I see it. I said he came as a man to be the sacrifice, the suffering servant, the sacrifice. And I said, then he's coming back, but he doesn't touch on earth. Okay? His second coming is when he actually touches foot on this earth again. But I like it when he... And we look at, and we're going to look at the rapture where he comes in the air. Remember I said he was a man, the suffering servant. Then he comes back as the good shepherd, Remember I said he's a good shepherd because he's going to lead us into still waters, into green pastures? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you could see heaven and you can see the green pastures up there, they're green. What we got down here, you see the grass? Not very green, is it? You don't get that up there. You don't get that. It's green all the time. And it's a perfect green. And it's, I mean, what I saw is perfect green. I mean, perfect. And he's going to lead us into that green pasture, that time of rest and relaxation. And then we're coming back with him as he steps foot on this earth and he deals with the enemy. And he sets up his throne, and he'll be known as the Lion of Judah. I like what one guy said. I heard him speaking about that time. And he said, Jesus came riding a donkey the first time. The second time he comes riding a white stallion. Glory to God. The first time he was crowned with thorns. The next time he's coming with a crown of glory. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you what, when he sets up that judgment seat down here, you want to make sure you look like a sheep. You don't smell like a goat. Amen. Hallelujah. That's, well, praise God. I don't go there. Look at Matthew 24, verse 10. He said this, and many will be offended, will betray one another, and we'll hate one another. Now, we're talking about the last days here. Of course, that's always been, but there's an increase. You ever notice there's an increase in hatred for people? Amen? You used to have, you know, intelligent disagreements and discourse with people about Democrat, Republican, or who you voted for, who you didn't. Now, people are afraid. There was a woman who was a reporter on the steps in Washington, D.C., and she refused to give her report because she was fearful of the people around her and the way they were going crazy. She was afraid that her physical well-being would be in jeopardy. It's getting worse. Now, understand it. What we're seeing as far as the world, you know, the scriptures say in that day there'll be nation against nation, ethnic group against ethnic group. It's not just, okay, Russia against America. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about groups inside the nation. And it's worse than it's ever been. And common sense in everything you think about, most people, well, that shouldn't be that way. Well, the Bible says that the enemy knows his time is short. He's going to stir up the people even more. Amen? So you're going to hear a lot of this stuff going on. Don't get fearful of it. Don't be afraid of it. You walk in love. Amen? You walk in love. Don't hate anything or anybody. Hate sin. That's the only thing you're allowed to hate. Okay? Listen. He said, and many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Amen. Who's he talking about? Love of God. Love of the scriptures. Love of Jesus. Grows cold. You know many Christians like that? Do we know them? Yeah. Like I said before, and I'll say again, I was talking to one pastor. This guy, to me, you know, he pastors four churches. And he's amazed at the degree of the lack of desire for the things of God. He said, he used to have maybe 16 or so people coming out on a Bible study. Now there's maybe 8. More and more people are dropping away because, and I truly believe that we're living in those days and those hours where the love of many will grow cold. I mean, if we were on a trip or getting ready to go on a trip, you go over and over a checklist of all the things you want to take with you. You're prepared. Like Sandy and Bob like to go fishing. They like to go to Florida. Said, let's go. So they run out, jump in the car, and drive. They forgot the boat. They forgot the fishing equipment. They forgot everything else to be able to go fishing, but we're on the way. There's a time of preparation, and the Holy Spirit, I think, is telling us, now is the time of preparation. Now is the time. And we're, again, we'll look at it. Look at, I want to take you, go into 2 Timothy chapter 3. But now this, that in the last days perilous times will come. You feel like we're in perilous times? That perilous times is times of stress. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We go through every one of these and we could spend time on, but just think about it. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Is he writing to the world or to the church? Can we see those things in the world? We certainly can. It's not unusual to see all those in the world. It is unusual to see them in the church. Now, that's not everybody. I can't say it. Okay. Ken, this is all you. No, but we can find it in many lives. He goes on to say, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives. Amen? Those are what he's talking to us. Get ready. I'm coming. I'm coming soon. Are you prepared? And the Holy Spirit keeps speaking to us. Look at what he says. To go into Matthew 24. We were just there. Let's go back. May I encourage you also, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. If you're not used to using a Bible, get used to it. If the Lord should tarry, and we're not taken out of here before some stuff hits the fan in this area or in the United States. Praise God, we're blessed to have all the electricity we want. You ever lose electricity for any length of time? We did for a week, right here in Skodak we were living. I've been in East Nassau where we live now. We lost it one time for 3 days. Not fun, is it? You know what I got? I got a generator. Amen? I got me a Generac. Runs the whole house. But you know what it is? It's a different source of power. It's a different source of power. Let me ask you a question. If everything here goes for whatever reason, I'm not going to go into things I'm not, well, you can't conceive. How is it possible that America could be hurt to such a degree that we could lose power for an extensive period of time? Is it possible? Let's say you lost it for a month. You lost power for a month. And I'm not talking, look, I'm talking about gas stations without power. I'm talking no power whatsoever. Can you live for a month without any power? If you had an alternative source of power, you can. Called the Holy Spirit. Right? Well, that's never going to happen in America. Praise God, I pray that it doesn't. But when the San Francisco fire hit, they really didn't think that was going to happen. Or an earthquake, I should say. They didn't think that was going to happen. You never know. Is he coming back soon? Yes, I believe he is. Are you ready for that emergency? Are you prepared? If he should come this second? Are you even concerned about it? Do you ever think about it? Let's look at 24 verse 37. Okay, let's 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. But did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, everything's going to be going on just as normal. Let's say it's a Sunday morning and everybody's getting up and ready to come to church. You're getting dressed, you're getting the kids are screaming and yelling, and you're mad at each other because you burnt the toast, whatever the thing's going on. You're all ready to come, you know, you're coming into church. And you already got your plan for the coming week. Everything I've got ready for the coming week. I know people who make their meals for the whole week on the weekend. All prepared for the coming week. Amen? And there's a trumpet sound. And all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, everything changes just like that. All your plans are gone. Everything that you hoped for and everything you looked at just changed. What he's saying is, nothing is going to be spectacular before his coming. There isn't anything that's going to change before he comes. In Luke 21, 36, he says this. He says, listen, watch and pray. I'm going to get into this a little later, but watch and pray. The things we should be doing to prepare for his coming. First, watch and pray. Watch what? Watch for the signs of my coming. Don't just ignore these things. I gave you scriptures before, you know. Go in and read Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39. Go in and read Isaiah 17, where he talks about destruction of Damascus. Go into Psalm 83. A lot of people believe that Psalm 83 is another war that's going to happen. 38 and 39 in Ezekiel talks about the coming war of Gog and Magog. Russia, Persia, or Iran, and Turkey are the biggest three in that coalition. Then you've got others that's going to go with them to attack Israel. And people say, well, why would he do that? Because in there it says that God put a hook in the mouth of Russia and drew him out. He didn't want to do it, but God brought him out to fight the war. Why would God do that? because God's going to deal with them because he's going to bring revival to Israel. And he said all of Israel will be saved. We're coming to the last days. Do we see Russia and Iran and Turkey building a coalition? If you've been watching, if you're looking for the signs, you will know that's exactly what's happening. Turkey at one time, and I don't want to go too far into this, Turkey at one time was a great friend of the nation of Israel. The present prime minister is strong Muslim, and he's turned Turkey away from following a more Western path to a more Eastern path, following the religion of Muhammad, which is strictly anti-Israel and anti-Christian. So we're seeing this, all this stuff is coming together. In Isaiah 17, he talks about the destruction of Damascus, that Damascus, one of the oldest cities in the world, will be destroyed, and no man will go back to live there. It will be uninhabitable. Oh, how could that happen? There's bombings in Syria consistently every day. Iran started putting in army bases in Damascus, in the city central, to save it from being bombed by Israel, who is dealing with it because they're sending rockets from there over too. I mean, it's all falling into place just as it's been prophesied centuries ago. The signs are there for us to see. And he's telling us, get ready. Don't be like in the days of Noah, thinking that tomorrow is going to be the same thing as it was yesterday. And nothing's going to change, because we've been saying this for thousands of years. Don't be like the scoffers. Don't be like those that say, well, you know, God, you know, I can't believe that. Well, it says it. It says it here. We have to believe what this says, or we don't even have eternal life with Christ. If this lied about that and what's coming, if the Holy Spirit couldn't be believed and trusted to tell us what's about to happen, how can we believe him that we're saved by the... Either it's all right or it's not all right. Either way, we can't pick and choose out of this thing. And we can't think that just every day is going to be the same as the one before. The world is changing. Now, in the United States, we've been isolated. We're not experiencing what's happening around the world. We were close to it, but God gave us a reprieve, and I believe part of that reasoning is because we have now someone who acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That's part of the knowledge that comes, that God wants that to happen. And we have also, Israel has a protectorate in America. But there's going to be coming a time, as I explained before, where we're no longer able or willing to protect Israel, because it says the whole world's going to turn against them. Either one of two things is going to happen. America is no longer a power source, or we have a government that does not want to acknowledge Israel like we just had and would refuse to protect it. So what do I need to do? What do I need to do to be ready for his coming? We don't want to be ignorant of the ways of God. We don't want to be ignorant and say, okay, I don't want to do it. Well, I'm not going to get there today. Next week we talk about that. Very clear. God's very clear on this. I gave you the two of them, watch and pray. To finish that scripture out, it said, watch and pray that you would be found worthy. Jesus speaking. Luke 21:36, watch and pray that you'll be found worthy to escape the wrath to come and stand before the Son of Man. Our worthiness to escape what's about to happen on this whole earth is because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit Himself, has sealed you for that day to be redeemed out of this element, out of this place. And for a twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be transformed, and the corruptible will put on the incorruptible. We'll enter, and as a matter of fact, all it is saying, if we're alive and it happens, the first thing that's going to happen, we talk about this over and over and over, is the graves are going to open up, the dead in Christ are going to come up out of the graves, the bodies of those who have went before us, let me say it easier, thank you, went before us is going to come up out of the grave. Now, how quickly between them coming up out of the grave and us going up? Will it be simultaneous, almost they go first and then we're going? Now, we know they get up there first. Then we're caught up. The Bible says that we're caught up. We call it the rapture. Nowhere in the Bible will you find the word rapture. Okay? It doesn't exist in the Bible. What does exist is the word in 1 Thessalonians, which we didn't get into, which we'll get into next week. 1 Thessalonians 4, where he talked about being caught up. That word caught up out of the Latin is rapio, where we get the word rapture. So rapture just means we're caught up. It means the corruptible, which is these corruptible bodies, will put on a glorified body. And a twinkling of an eye. And we understand, we all understand, these are just spacesuits so that we can operate in this atmosphere. Right? You take that space suit off, you leave. Because you can't walk on this earth without it. And you won't be able to walk in that heavenly sphere with Jesus without a new space suit. Amen? He's going to have to give us a new space suit. It's good for this atmosphere. When you get up there, the air is much thinner. The pressure on your body is much greater. So we got to have something different to wear. That's all it is. You understand that? Because your spirit's already been glorified. Your spirit's already been taken care of. And your soul, your mind is being saved, the Bible says, right? So your spirit's saved, your mind and your soulish realm, the mind, the will, the emotions, they're being saved, transformed into the image of Christ. The way he thought, we're starting to think the same way. But the bodies are still dying because of sin, and sin cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So God's got to deal with the body in order for us to enter in with a glorified body. Amen? So he's going to give us a new space suit. We're going to go off into space. We're going to go all the way up into heaven. And we're going to join together, as much as you don't want to join together with us. For those who have joined with him will be joined together. And we'll sit down at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And guess what he says he'll do? He serves us. He serves us. Our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Master, our Lord, the groom will serve the bride. And I truly believe, because you got to think of the millions of people that's going to be there. Right? There's millions, if not billions, I don't know how many. The multitude. But I believe, even though Jesus is just one, how many of you know that you've got down here technology today that enables us to be in America and see what's going on in Israel just as if we're standing right there? When we get there, they got such technology that every one of us will be able to see Jesus standing right in front of us at the same time. So it's not like you got the cheap seats. Yeah. We got the most inexpensive seats. It's kind of far up on the, you know, way up there. And we're looking down. No, 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 no. You got front row. Because the master, the bridegroom, wants to be next to the bride. You understand that? When he said, I'm going to go back to my father's place and build you a mansion, so that where I am, you may be also. Let not your heart be troubled. So what's coming on this earth? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't seek to save your life down here, because you'll waste your time. If the devil come to say, I'm going to kill you, say, thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to do anything to prolong to live in a dying piece of flesh. If my Father can't keep me, why do I depend on someone else to do it? If my Father orders my footsteps, if I listen, why do I try to make my own way? If my Father has given me everything necessary for a good and godly life, why do I seek to go into debt for something that He didn't give me? Questions we ask ourselves. Are we or are we not the children of God? Are we or not? Are we not the heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Are we or aren't we? If we are, and Jesus said, I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Ooh, doggies. Amen. He's not talking about this skin. It may have a few wrinkles. But He's coming back for a bride that He laid down His life for. And if He laid down His life for it, don't you think He can get it ready for when He comes back? On our own, we can't. I acknowledge that. But in Christ, we can do all things. God said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask the Father anything. And He'll do it. He said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Is it possible that God is saying to us, stop trying, stop forcing the issue, and trust me? I know how to get you ready for my son. He's preparing us for this time. Come back for us. Amen? Get excited. Get ready. You're going on a trip of a lifetime. And guess what? All right. Yes, Lord. He said it's a round-trip journey. You're going up there, but you're not staying up there. You're coming back. And you're going to work with Him down here. Amen? You're going to work with Him down here. Hallelujah. See, God says, yea, I see what you have done and what you are doing. But don't look at that as something that seems unnatural for you, because I'm preparing you to clean up some messes that need to be cleaned up down here. You get a phone call, and then you make phone calls. God is saying, I'm going to call you, and I want you to speak to others, and those messes will be cleaned up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. You ask yourself, how is it possible? How is it? Well, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God's got plans for our lives. Amen. Bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord. We do believe. that you're coming back soon for your bride. We want to be ready. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, we trust you. We trust you to finish the work that God has begun in us. We trust that you will finish and prepare us for the coming of the Master, of the Bridegroom. So when the trumpet sounds, when that time comes and we'll not be caught unawares, that we will be prepared. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. There's a scripture that God said, if you had known the time when the thief was coming to your home, you would have prepared, you would have been sitting waiting for him to come. And he says, when he comes back, he's coming back as a thief in the night. Not for us, because we're going to be aware looking for his coming. So it won't be as a thief in the night for us, because we're looking for his coming. But for those who aren't looking, it'll be a big surprise. And they won't be ready for his coming. And that you don't want to be part of. Amen. Amen? Amen? You don't want to be part of that. The Holy Spirit came to prepare us for what's coming. Amen? Not only does he tell us what's coming, he gets us ready for the coming. That's why he's so important. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody got any testimony or anything? Yes, Dee.